Genesis 37, we're looking at probably the greatest type of Christ in the Bible, Joseph. And I've heard people say, well, there's 90 things that are similar, there's 127 things that are similar. I think there are a lot more than we even know if we really get in there and start studying it. It's just amazing the similarities and the type of Jesus Christ that Joseph is. And I mean, the most important thing we want to take away from it is forgiveness and sacrifice. Those are the two things that you really want to hang your hat on when you're looking at Joseph and Jesus Christ and that type of Christ. And but there's a lot more to that. And it even takes us on past the church age into the tribulation, because what happens is Joseph ends up taking care of his brethren. They're Jews. I mean, you were looking at Jewish system, Jewish setup here. And guess what? Even though Jesus Christ's brothers rejected him, and remember, they throw Joseph in the pit, they want to kill him. They want to get rid of him. Why? He's convicting. He's convicting. They didn't want King Jesus. His brethren didn't. They wanted somebody like King Saul. You know, somebody they were used to, somebody was like them, somebody sinned like them, somebody that had struggles like them, somebody that didn't convict them, somebody they could look at and compare themselves among themselves and feel a little bit better about themselves. And that's the problem with people today. The reason they don't want to read their Bible is because they want to feel better about themselves. They'd rather look next door to the pew, or look at the guy that ain't in the pew, or the woman that ain't in the pew, and say, well, I'm doing better than they are. And when you open the Bible, you realize you're not quite who you think you are. Amen. Amen. We start to realize we are in desperate need of Jesus Christ every single step of the way. And the good news is, he knew that, even if you forget it. Amen. And he knows that. And he'll never leave us or forsake us. If you're walking through this world, I'm not talking about your salvation, but if you're walking without Christ, it's your choice. Right. He didn't choose that. Amen. He didn't choose that at all. Matter of fact, he gave us, as the brother just prayed about it, he gave us the perfect Bible, the perfect instruction manual. And, you know, the ladies, they understand instructions better than men do, because men throw them in the trash. And we'll turn a flower planter holder into a desk or something. You know, we see it, man, don't we? Don't we see it? Doesn't that look just like a bookcase? And then the wife's like, good night, honey. I should have checked this out a little bit more, she said, before I said yes. Amen. Because I'm not sure that'll hold a book or a flower pot. Amen. But we don't like instructions. We don't like to be told what to do by nature, old nature. And this book will get you, boy. This thing will stick its finger. God, he'll poke his finger out of that book and put it right between your eyes. And he'll poke his finger out of that book and put it right in the middle of your heart. Amen. Every once in a while, he gives a little twist on me. I don't know about you. This book is it. I mean, you've got to be reading this thing. And you find out when you read this Bible that Joseph's brothers hated him. Most of them could have cared less if he was dead. And I always remember Reuben, because I like that sandwich. It's a good sandwich. Reuben's the one that kept him from being totally wiped out. You know, and Baptists and their food, brother. I'll tell you, we got it. And that's the way always, if you go visit a church, they'll say, well, you go down to Burger King, you take a right, and you go to Wendy's, you take a left, and you get down to IHOP, and you get out of the country, you go down to where old man Johnson's barn used to be, and you turn left. I got them instructions a lot in different places. Yeah, you go down where old man Johnson's barn used to be, and you turn left, and then you go down there. Yeah, the water tower. Well, it ain't there no more, but that's where you take a right. And then there's a little town called Nowheresville, and they don't have a sign, but you'll know you're there because there ain't nothing there. You just go right on through that. Amen. And there's another barn, red barn, that might be blue. Did they paint that barn? Anyway, you'll see a barn, and you take a right, and about 2 miles down on the left or the right, I'm not sure, but that's where our church is. What's the name of your church? I can't remember. Amen. And we talk about that, we joke about that, but I witness people all the time that go to church, don't know where their church is, don't know the name of it, couldn't tell you who their pastor was, or maybe they just don't want to tell you who their pastor is, I don't know. Y'all are looking at me funny, I don't know what's going on with all this. But it's funny, men in their directions, but God gives clear direction. Amen. Clear direction. And you'll find out that Joseph, even though he was hated by his brethren and wanted to kill him, at the end, he ends up taking care of him. And you read Romans chapter 11, straighten out a whole bunch of heresy. Amen. God's not through with Israel, and he's going to take care of them. Amen. They're going to go through some stuff. Well, that great tribulation, that 3.5 years of pretty much hell on earth, is theirs. It's all about, You say, well, it's all about man, and God loves the world. God does love the world. He sent his son to die for them, for everybody. But when you get past the church age, it goes back to Israel. His focus is 100% on Israel again. Read chapter 11, Romans. I mean, read the Bible, amen. It's all over the place. You get in Zechariah, you can see it. You get in all over the Ezekiel, Isaiah. He's not through with Israel. But Joseph does rule and reign over his brethren, even though they didn't want it. Jesus Christ does the same thing. Amen. And here we have an opportunity in the church age to do something they don't have an opportunity to do. We are in a blessed age for a couple different reasons. First of all, God put me right here because he knows I would never made it in any other age. Amen. I believe that. God's merciful and long-suffering. All I had to do is realize I was a sinner, realize he died, was buried, rose again, and realize he was the Savior and call on him and ask him to save me. But we have an opportunity. I'm once saved, always saved, praise the Lord. I'm saved forever. But we have an opportunity knowing that. And listen, I wish that our detractors would get this. Oh, you Baptists and your once saved, always saved stuff, just live like the devil and just think you're going to heaven anyway. And that's not the truth. We know we're going to heaven. And since you know you're going to heaven, you have the opportunity to use your free will to glorify him. Amen. When he comes back and rules and reigns, he's not, again, we've talked about this in Revelation study. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to rule over people. A lot of those people ain't going to like it. Amen. How could you not like being under his leadership now? I mean, you're saved. You're bought with the precious blood of Christ, God's blood, according to Acts 20:28. He's put us in the best situation outside of heaven you could possibly be in. And he's given you a perfect instruction manual. How could you not love him? How could you not want to glorify him? He's given us an opportunity, and that's a big part of what the judgment seat of Christ is, motive. It's about submitting our will to his will and saying, look, I'm yours. Amen. That's what Joseph did. That's what Joseph did. You say, how did Joseph? And I know Joseph was a man. Joseph had bad days. Joseph had to be sitting in prison going, good night, this is never going to end. Lord, you told me, you give me these dreams. And they don't look like it's going to work out. And then after the butler and the baker and, you know, poor old Mr. Baker, he gets hung out in a tree. And the butler spends 2 years running around free. Woo, I'm free. It's all about Joseph. I mean, you tell me 6 months into that, 9 months into that, 12 months in, 18, 20 months into that, Joseph wasn't going, I'm done. I'm never getting out of here. I thought that guy was going to help me. I thought the Lord was going to use him. Never getting out. But you know what? When he got out, God did exactly what he said he was going to do, put him on over his brethren to take care of him. And he had the right heart about it. You know? I don't think we have the right heart about a lot of things a lot of times. But he had the right heart about it. Could you imagine that? I don't want to talk about Jehovah's Witnesses. That gave me off on a bad heart. But, I mean, they are hard to deal with. But I don't want them to go to hell. Amen. I'm no better than they are. God's just given me a lot of light. He saved my soul and he gave me light. And we know a lot of people, he saved their soul and they don't have any light hardly after that. But it's by choice. I mean, they choose to follow the darkness. But Joseph, he has the right heart about it. He submits to the will of God. And even though he's going through all these tough things, honestly, when Potiphar's wife pulled the shenanigans, he probably thought, I'm done. They're just going to whack my head off, and I'm done. And God preserved him, kept him going, kept raising him up. Joseph just lowered it, humbled himself. God raised him up. Humbled himself. That's the trick. My job is to tell you you're doing a good job. Your job is to humble yourself and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're not doing a good job, that's my job too. Amen. And that's what we went to. We had that men's meeting. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, the Lord said, you're not doing very good in this area. Amen. And men need to hear that every once in a while. Amen. Good. But Joseph here, one of the greatest type, probably the greatest type of Christ in the Bible. And we get to 37, chapter 37, verse 9. Says, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Remember the first dream, they really didn't like that. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now they really don't like this. Another dream. Now they're really ratcheting up the hatred. And You ever notice that it's really sad, it kind of bothers me, not just in my mind and my heart, but it kind of bothers me down in the soul, that a lot of people that say they're saved, that are pastoring churches even, they have such a disdain for the Word of God. And it'd be easy to go, well, they're idiots. And I wouldn't say that's a false statement, but that's sad. That's a sad thing, that if you've got somebody leading a flock of people that has a disdain for truth, and it's always the King James Bible, always. And the reason that is because it's the right one. It's always the King James Bible. Oh man, there's errors in that book. Well, the 15 books you supposed to use and maybe partly believe don't have any errors in them. I mean, mine don't. But you're looking so hard and attacking so long and so much and putting so much effort out against the real Bible. That's sad. You know, really, and I'm not there yet. I'm really not there yet. I want to be there. I want to have a broken heart about that and be praying for these guys more. But I'm just, you know, I take it personal sometimes because it is a personal attack. If you don't have anything to stand on, you always attack the person. Amen. Anyway, you and your King James Bible. Well, I'm glad we're mentioned in the same sentence. I'm not worthy of that. Praise God. Amen. But the attack is on truth. The attack is on truth. I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. Different men in the church, younger men, and in my family even. Well, so-and-so said there's a bunch of errors in the King James Bible, and they're going to show me. Why are they putting so much effort out into talking you out of truth? Yeah, yeah. Think about this. They don't care if there's errors in any other Bible. They just use them. And they're happy with it. But they have to show you what they believe are errors because they have to put you in the same position they're in doubt. Yeah. Right. Amen. Amen. I'm not in doubt. Amen. I'm not. I was at one time. There was so much going on around me, so many different battles going on over this. I didn't even know there was an issue. I just thought God give us a Bible. Then when I found out there was an issue, He started giving me issues. And, you know, this guy saying this, and this guy saying that. I got to the point where I'm like, I don't trust any man. Lord, show me. I can tell you, not the date, not the time, but I can tell you where I was. I can tell you what I was looking at. I can tell you what I read. And I can tell you when God settled it in my heart. And it was not from Bob Jones Sr. It was not Dr. Ruckman. Those guys were a part of it. But I read a statement by a man named William Lyons Phelps, and he was an English professor from Yale, I believe it was. And all this stuff was going through my mind. I've been praying, and he was talking about the majestic beauty of the words in the English of the King James Bible, and that settled it for me. That was the final thing that settled it. I was headed that way anyway, but that was it. I was sat there, and it was like, bam, that's it. We're serving a king. I mean, this guy's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior. Why would he have a Bible that talks like us? Amen? I don't want a Bible that's like us. Good night. I'm tired of being like us. Amen? So, that settled it. Praise God for men like Dr. Ruckman and Bob Jones Sr. and all the, you know, David Otis Fuller. I can give you 100 people I read. 100 detractors. I don't even remember their names anymore. I forgot them. The Lord's good, and He let me forget them. People that didn't believe it. But I read a lot of stuff. But reading the book and praying, and God said, I'm going to show you some things. It wasn't shortly. I know we're getting off track. I don't know why. I guess the Lord wants us here. One thing He showed me right after that, and it wasn't too long after that, was a Baptist preacher. And he started lining me up with all these pastors. All my friends became pastors. I mean, all the pastors around there, Baptist pastors, I just ended up being friends with them. And one of them kept coming into my office, and he's in heaven now, he believes the book now, but when he came into my office, I had a King James Bible on the end table, and he would always, I've told you this before, he would slide the Bible out of the way, and he would sit right there every time. Push that Bible out of the way and sit right there, and the Lord said, see what he thinks of my Bible? Like, yeah, Lord, you're right. That's terrible. It is terrible. But you know what's worse, in my opinion? To have it, to believe it, to read it, to say you love it, and not follow it. I mean, those guys have been bamboozled by the devil. What's our excuse for not following the Word of God? We don't have one. We're going to get the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going, man, God's going to say, yeah, you rightly divided. Yeah, you did it. You didn't do anything I told you to do, though. You just told everybody what you knew. Amen? That's the danger we're in. We have the opportunity here to be like Joseph. Say, Lord, I might go into prison. I might go into some captivity. I might have some rough times. But I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to follow you. Amen? I feel bad for the other guys. I feel worse for us. I mean, we got all the light that you could ever, more than you could ever dream of having. 2/3 of people with the light, shut it off and go about their lives. But they can tell you, you know, the church is going to, they're premillennial, pre-trib, rightly dividing. They could tell you all kinds of stuff about division. They could tell you, oh man, they could get in there and dissect. They could tell you things about the millennial reign that only the Lord knows, besides them. But they couldn't tell you much about Jesus Christ. Because you learn that from praying, studying, and submitting. You leave the submitting part out, and you don't learn Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a lot more to this than just believing the book. And I'm glad that I have a church full of Bible believers. But if we want to be right with God, we're going to follow the book. Amen. And not just the bad parts, where the guys were going the wrong direction. Old Ken Hovind used to say, well, even the worst of us could be a bad example. Amen. I think we got a lot of people that love that and went with it. I don't want to go with that. Amen. I like when I'm right. Amen. When I'm right, when I go to the altar and get right, when I get right in the chair, in the seat, when I get right at home, whatever, whenever things are not right and I get right, I love that feeling of being right. Because me and God are in perfect communion. It's like, hey, it doesn't last a long time. So I'm fighting this flesh. But boy, when you're in, I'm not just talking about showing up on Sunday. I'm not just talking about making it to the men's meeting. And by the way, thank you men that helped clean everything up and thank the preachers and everything. But it's not just about being there, it's about being in. If everybody in church had that same cleanness on Sunday morning, God would show up and do something like he'd never done before. Amen. That's part of the reason they're so excited at the nursing home when the church service starts is because they've been looking forward to it all week. From Sunday at 2 o'clock or 1:45, 2:15, whenever we leave, until the next Sunday, there are a lot of those folks are looking forward to church. Amen. And I'm not your excuse, amen. If you're not looking forward to church, it's probably not on me, amen. Probably some of it's on you. But boy, to have the heart of Joseph, what a blessing. What a blessing. Did we even read verse 9? Yes. So what bowed down to him in verse 9? The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. Verse 11, y'all fill in the blank for me here. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. I'm sure his dad wasn't real happy with it, but he'd been down this road a few times where I said, yeah, there's probably something to this, amen. And remember, he had a special love for Joseph. Another reason is type of Christ. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So he has a special love for Joseph. And when Joseph tells him this, y'all that have kids, you know sometimes, well, Scott, your kids, your daughter's young enough, but especially when they get in their teenage years, sometimes they'll say something to you and you're like, that's true, but I don't like it. His dad was probably there. That might be true, but I don't necessarily like it. But when they get to the other end and there's corn, they like it. Let me tell you something. We got a lot more to look forward to than corn. Let's read 13 through 17 here. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee. See whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron and came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. So where did he find his brethren? Dothan. Now, I'm telling you, there's just so much in Joseph's account here that these verses we just read, remember, God gives him a dream that his brothers are going to bow down to him. God gives him a dream, the sun, the moon, the 11 stars, tribes, you know, what we're looking at here is mom's dad, you know, and his father's like, we're going to bow down to you. But look what he does. His father tells him to do something, and he goes and does it. He remained obedient. See, that's another thing we have to watch. If God gives you something to do, I mean, Joseph could have said, I don't have to do anything you tell me. I'm going to reign over you. Amen. He could have been a good Southern Baptist pastor. Amen. Well, the deacon board for the Southern Baptist. I'm going to reign over you. I don't have to do anything. But he didn't do that. He still obeyed the Father. And see, when God gives you something to do, when he gives me something, he gives us something to do, he doesn't say, all right, here's the big hat, now you're the Pope. Amen? He says, I'm going to allow you to be a part of something that's eternal. Amen? And if you follow me, I'm going to bless you. And if you submit to my will, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to have something to lay back at my feet because I'm worthy. You say, well, God's worthy. Amen. And if you follow him, if you get to the judgment seat of Christ and it's all burned up, it's not my fault. It's not. Now, look, I'm going to take partial responsibility for giving you the truth. What you do with it is on you. I won't be standing there with you. I got my own list. Amen. But it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. When Joseph kept obeying his father, even though he knew that God had a plan for him, he stayed humble. He stayed humble all the way through this thing. Jesus Christ himself, remember? He's not coming back, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, lowly Jesus, baby in a manger. He's coming back, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, ruling with a rod of iron. He's going to call us out of here first. We're going to come back with him, right? Praise the Lord. But the ultimate example is not even Joseph, it's Jesus Christ. What was the ultimate? Can you think of the ultimate example of humility? Besides saying, I'm going to do the Father's will, go to the cross, take all your sin debt. That's an amazing thing. That's the most amazing thing you could ever try to wrap your mind around. But think of his ultimate example that he'd done for us to give us in his word. He washed the disciples' feet. And again, don't panic. I'm not going to pull my shoes off. Amen. You pull yours off, you have at it. I'm staying up here. But the thing is, that the ultimate example was him. God himself said, I'll do this. You know what he's done for me? Not my feet only. I'm clean. I am clean. I'm not getting into heaven because I did 60-40 good works. I'm getting into heaven because 100% of what Jesus Christ did, amen. I'm clean. Hey, God the Father don't see me the same way you do. If you're saved, God the Father don't see you the same way I do. Amen. Because I see you just like me. Somebody that needs the Lord every step of the way. But God the Father sees you as clean. Righteousness of Christ imputed to your account. Your little baby back there climbing around. God looking at us going, look at them little babies down there climbing around doing what they do. Amen. That one just threw up over there and that one's making a mess. And aren't they cute? Oh, that one's not. It's funny, well, we are his children. And you think he don't look at us like, he has to look at us like that, pity us and say, I'm not going to wipe them all out right now, amen? They just can't help it. You know, they're a mess. Because we are, all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags, there's none righteous, no, not one. And I'm not a Calvinist, I'm not going that direction, you know, God didn't make us do anything. I'm just saying, we are a mess. And we need him. Again, I thank God for this church, and I'm not taking a shot at anybody. I'm just saying that, look, we need him. I believe that God has given me some good men and women here that love the Lord, that want to do right. But let me tell you how to do it. Follow this book. and the example of Jesus Christ. And this is just a type of Christ right here. Joseph. Wouldn't it be something if God wrote another book and you got to read it in heaven and you were in it? Wouldn't that be something? I don't think I'll make it, but I guarantee you there'll be some guys I could tell you probably would. Might be somebody in there like Billy Sunday. And you can say what you want about Spurgeon. I've got, you know, there's some issues. Everybody had issues. C.I. Schofield had issues. Brother Ruckman had issues. Everybody has issues because we're men. But I believe, you know, might be like C.I. Schofield. He might be in that book. Oh, there's going to be a lot of missionaries. There's going to be a big missionary section, I'm sure of that. If there's a book, another one that he lets us read in heaven about everything that went on down here, that was right. You can look around the room and see the names. There's a lot of people probably be in that book. I'm in a book of life, but if he wrote an extra book and said, man, you won't believe what some of these people did, I'd like to be in that. Amen? Wouldn't that be something if you found out at the judgment seat of Christ there was that book and you were going to read about everybody else, you weren't in it the rest of eternity? Or maybe you were in the index somewhere, yep, and he wiped your part of that book out. Man, but we serve a good God, the God. Verse 18. Let's see. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. What did they want to do? They wanted to slay him. They didn't want anybody ruling over them, especially their brother. Amen. Y'all had siblings, you know, brothers. And, you know, brother gonna rule over me. Amen. But that's the same thing they did to Jesus Christ. They'll rule over us. To the point, like we mentioned here a few weeks ago, to the point where they not only wanted to crucify him, it just bothered them to the core of their being that it said King of the Jews over the cross. Again, they said, Pilate, don't put King of the Jews. Say he said he's King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. It was convicting. It wasn't just his presence. It was the words. You wonder why people want to read another Bible or alleged Bible? It's the words. It's the words. They're different. They're different. For some reason, people get a kick out of seeing Jesus compared to Satan. If you've got an NIV or you've got some of these new versions, you see that. Amen. That's wicked. Jesus Christ. It's not the devil. He's not the bright morning star. I mean, we can go down a list of all kinds of perverted things they've done to lift up Satan and to lower, in their mind, Jesus Christ in these alleged Bibles. I'm telling you, it's important. The Word of God's important. You know, don't say King of the Jews. Don't say King James. Say whatever you want to use. Amen? It's whatever you want to use. Well, you guys and your authority, you worship that book. Well, I'm pretty close to it, I'd say, because the God that wrote it, is my Savior. So yeah, this is more important to me than any love letter I get from my wife. Amen? I like a love letter from my wife. I haven't had one of those for a while, I'm just saying. No, but when you get, somebody loves you, and they send you a card, you say, well, cards aren't e-cards. I'm telling you, we're becoming so depersonalized, so desensitized to reality. Oh, and I'm not against it if you live in another, you know, state. Why spend $12 on a card they're going to throw in the trash? But to me, if you can go 50 cent or a dollar card, I'm cheap, ain't I? We're going to spend a dollar card, they're going to throw it in the trash, spend the buck, send it to them, amen? They can see your handwriting. I'm not all sentimental. I don't worship cards and stuff, but I got cards from my grandma. I preached her funeral November 9, 2019. I've got cards from her saying we love you and, you know, miss you and pray for you every day. And I like that. I do. I read them every while. I'll accidentally run into some of that and I'll read it and I think, man, she's praying for me every day since before I was born. You know what? I praise the Lord because I had a grandma that prayed for me. You know, I'm thankful. I love it. I love to read that. We got something here. We talk about this in the men's meeting just in case you missed it. If you weren't a man, you missed it on purpose. Amen. But it's not, fall in love with your Bible. Ask God to help you fall in love with your Bible. I'm not talking about just agreeing with it and liking it and believing it. But ask him to help you fall in love with it. you know, when we're going through our studies in Revelation and stuff, and we start seeing things we've never seen before, and we get excited, right? He'll do the same exact thing to you at home by yourself. Amen. Now be careful. Don't be switching Bible doctrine at home by yourself. If it looks like maybe you're going to lose your salvation or something, come talk with me. I'll show you where that's wrong. But he'll speak to you personally. If he's not speaking to you personally, maybe it's because you don't love his word. Amen? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Maybe you're offended real easily. Maybe you just don't love God's word. Amen? There's a lot in here about loving his word. A lot in here about loving the Lord. And I don't believe you can love the Lord without loving the word. I really don't. I might be wrong. I don't think I am. I don't think you can love the Lord and not love his word. Especially if you got it and you know it. Amen? Amen. 21 and 22. Wait a minute, where do we go? Let's not skip those verses. Let's read, I might have skipped a verse already. Let's read 19. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. See, boy, that just despising. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. Boy, they really don't like him. And Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So who was it that delivered him from Joseph, or delivered Joseph from his brothers killing him? Reuben. Again, that's that sandwich. That's how I remember it. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren, they that stripped Joseph out of his coat, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Now we know the coat had a significance to him because it was from his father. It was a special coat that only he wore. Now there again, there's Jesus Christ. He has a coat that only he wore. It's a coat of righteousness. Guess what you get? You know, that when they parted his garments and there's that garment that was without seam from top to bottom, that's his righteousness. That's a picture of his righteousness that's on you right now if you've called on Christ and trusted him as your Lord and Savior. It's a special coat. They hated that coat. Jesus' brethren, they hated that coat. When he walked this earth, they hated that coat. They didn't even know they hated the coat. But it was his righteousness. They hated that. It was convicting. And you know, the thing is, the Bible talks a lot about a false balance. It's abomination of the Lord. It talks about moderation. And that's where we need to really pray and focus on moderation, because we are supposed to walk right. We are supposed to be clean. I believe the book, and the book says, be ye holy as I am holy. We're supposed to make an effort to be like Jesus Christ. And I think that a lot of times we will preach against the Pharisees, and we'll preach so hard against the Pharisees, rightly so, preaching against Pharisees, but we'll preach so hard against the Pharisees that we'll run over to the other side and say, well, it's all right to blend in a little bit with the world so we can get along with the world. I told you about my friend that taught Sunday school over in Illinois, a guy I knew over there, and he would drink beer with his friends so he could get them to come to church, all right? So he's getting people in church, but that's wrong. Amen? If we have, I don't know what rock groups are popular now or whatever, we come in here and that boy, man, we loaded the seats up, preacher. That's wrong. It's the wrong reason God's leaving. He's already left. He left when the invitations went out for that. Amen? But we have to be careful. We don't want to go so far that we start to blend in the world, look like the world, and we don't want to be a Pharisee. And you know, don't wait and become a Pharisee if you don't have a right view of yourself. And if you're not reading your Bible, you're going to have a wrong view of yourself. Amen? If you're not sitting under the preaching, Bible preaching, and Bible teaching, you're going to have a wrong view of yourself. My job is to help you not have a wrong view of yourself. And I don't want you to have a wrong view of me either. I'm in the same boat with you. I don't want to have the wrong view of myself. Sometimes I do, and the Lord, I told you guys, we're here yesterday, I don't know if you're about the two-year-old girl thing. Handed me that track back. I give her mom. The Lord just chasing me with a two-year-old kid. Amen? But that's a good thing. I didn't like it. Don't like telling it. And the only reason I'm telling you is because I want you to know that this is real. We're in the same boat. Amen? But the truth is, we're supposed to be. Our walk should convict people. It should make them feel uncomfortable about what they're doing. Scott and I were talking about this the other day about, you know, somebody might be doing everything right at work and living for the Lord, and their boss might be a filthy heathen, but their boss has respect for that person. They don't even know why a lot of times. They have a respect for that person. And most of the time, if a born-again believer's following God and they're working for somebody, that person is looking for a reason to keep that person instead of get rid of them. Amen? So if it comes down to it, they're going to find a reason to keep them instead of get rid of them. Amen? You say, well, it's the blessing of God. It is the blessing of God, but it's also you putting feet on your prayers and living what you're supposed to be living. And the only way we can do that is through the power of God. It all goes back to Him, but the thing is, it's righteousness. We're supposed to be right. Amen? So there's a reason why we preach against all this worldly junk coming into the church. Now, I know we're worldly sometimes when we come into the church, but we're not bringing the world in here to grow the church. Because we'd be growing a church for the devil instead of the Lord. Amen? But the thing is, our walk is supposed to be right. And if our heart's right and our walk's right, praise God. If people are convicted by us doing right and us praising the Lord and us trying to be a blessing to people, praise God, it should convict them. But we have to be careful and stay in the right band of reality on this. It's not us, it's Him. If it's going good, it's Him. Amen? But having a right view of yourself. I believe Joseph had a right view of himself, and I believe he didn't always have it, but I believe he got it. And maybe it took that 2 extra years in prison to get it. But when he got out, he had it. How do I know? Because even after his father died, he still loved his brother and did right. And he gave God the glory for it. Amen? You know what Jesus Christ was doing in his ministry? Glorifying the Father. I mean, this is just... You could read every book on Joseph out there and all the types of Christ. You're going to find more in here if you're reading it. It's just amazing. Amazing stuff. There's no end to this. I mean, this is an amazing book. The amazing book. All the other books are nothing in comparison. Verse 24. Man, I'm getting windy. I think, you know what, we'll read this one and then we'll wrap this up. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. So there again, that's a type of hell. Jesus Christ, we remember down to the bottom of the pit. We talk about being cast into a pit, the bottomless pit. Jesus Christ took your sin debt to hell. Guess what's in hell? According to Luke, no water. Because they were down there wanting somebody to touch the tip of his tongue. Rich man, somebody touched the tip of his tongue with water because he was tormented in the heat and the flames. So there's no water. It's another type of Christ. It's just over and over and over and over again. Old man wrote that Bible. You guys are nuts. If you think that, you're a nut. I mean, this was man when the Bible was written. They were the instrument to write it. Man could not do what God did in this book. Every man in the whole history of mankind got together and put all five of their brain cells in it. They'd have never got this done. Especially men thousands of years apart, all over the world, different parts of people never met each other, never lived together, and God just says, watch this. So I believe the originals. Well, I do too. I believe they were right for the time, but I believe this book right here is perfect, without error, and better than the originals for you and me. Amen. If anybody ever had the originals all together in one place, in one collection, which nobody ever did, by the way, and they don't exist anywhere right now, by the way, that probably ain't no scrap of an original right now, amen? So those that worship with originals, they're worshiping an unknown God, as far as I can tell, because they don't have them. So what'd God do? He said, well, just good luck. The originals are gone, I'm sorry. I thought I could do it, but I'm going to fail you guys. Are you kidding me? God said, you know what? Jesus Christ, my son, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, I wrote a book from the foundation of the world called the King James Bible. And it was way ahead of you. You might not have got it till 400 some years ago, but this book existed before you did. And it'll exist long after this world. Amen. Father, we love you and thank you for your word, and ask for your blessing on it. Ask for your blessing on the service to come, that you'd have your hand and power on it, Lord. We love you and thank you, and we thank you for the examples you give us of right in your Bible, Lord. We sometimes are the example of wrong. Help us to not be that way. Help us to heed your warnings. and help us to love you and your word like never before. Bless today's service in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. We'll see you all again in about 10 minutes.